Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrews.
Hello, my sister.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am Sister Ashley. Audience, say something. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise ya. Nice to have an audience. Nice to have my sisters behind me. Nice to be back tonight. It's been 2 weeks. We had a wonderful show with Pastor and Elder Rufus. Pastor came up and sat right here in this chair 2 weeks ago. Last week we had snow, and I asked for a week off. That's all. And Pastor honored it. So I won't tell you the humorous background to that. It always comes with a story. Welcome to another live show. Please give me a chance if you can hear me. I'm Sister Ashley. I was born and raised right here where I am speaking from, Lafayette, Tennessee. And I'm the only one in this ministry from here, and I gotta say, it's pretty strange sometimes when you go out and you know everybody. Half of them don't recognize me. I've talked long enough to get 10. Bless you. All praises to the Most High, yeah. Hallelujah. I pray that we're all standing for holiness. When your friends are gone and when you're all alone, believe and you shall receive. Just stand. Hallelujah. Let's jump to Mother Jennifer, let's hear your voice and get a sound check.
Shalom, and bless you, Sister Ashley. Blessings to all of you daughters of Zion. It's so good to be here for another episode of Sister to Sister. I was asking Sister Ashley, have we been gone for 2 weeks? Because it actually seems like much longer. But I just want to say that we were so blessed by the broadcast that our shepherd and our elder did for us, and the love and the care that they have for the daughters of Zion just really touches my heart. I pray that everyone can hear me. It looks like we've got 10 that are coming in, so I think we can move on, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. 3 months, 2 days till I'm going to see some of you. Hallelujah. I'm going to see you at the Feast of Passover. I hope if you are coming that you will call us and let us know. And Pastor gave out the practical dates, you know, through the weekend. So I'll make sure I get those right and give them to you next time. He didn't mention that being the mandatory dates to come and go, of course. But through the weekend, he had threw those dates out there. So I'll get some more clarity for any or all of you about when the land is open to come and when the last day may be. Look forward to another feast. I pray Yah is keeping you. The just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back his soul, there shall not be pleasing unto Yah. That's the word. So we always lose and we always gain, you know, during this season. It's been a wonderful dead season for me. I love teaching, teaching the children, homeschooling the children. And I love where I live. I wouldn't want life to be any other way. I have high expectations for us as a community. I have high expectations of the growth that we will manifest, but I wouldn't want to change anything in the perfection that we're at right now. I give glory and honor to the Most High Yah, and I jump to you, Mother Jennifer, to share your heart and your acknowledgments first, please.
Yes, ma'am. I'd like to acknowledge the Most High for continually loving us, for always having his eyes on us. There's never a moment when he doesn't see us, and I'm just grateful that we have a father who loves us enough to correct us and in all things, the things that we've blinded ourselves to, the things that we've deceived ourselves of, and that he just loves us so much to continually keep us. I always talk about how he keeps us during not only the dead season, but every single day. So it seems that even more and more right now, he's showing us so much love. And I just pray that we never, ever reject that. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for his leadership here with Straightway Georgia. You know, we really have a beautiful thing going here. And I just want to just take the time to really acknowledge the love that he continually pours in to the community, the selflessness that he operates in, the discernment, the wisdom that he continually gives, not just to his immediate family, but he takes the time out to share and to minister to those who are on the land and those who live all over. You know, Elder will always take the time out to speak to you, to provide wisdom, to provide discernment. He's not a selfish man at all. So I just want to acknowledge him for the love and the compassion that he continually shows, and to our shepherd and to his entire family for living a life of righteousness. You know, our shepherd lives a life to where the Most High can continue to speak to him. He can hear from the Father, because he does not practice a life of sin. And I don't know of, you know, any other pastor, any other ministry, you know, even being in Christianity, I don't know of anyone that can have that same testimony of being selfless enough to hear from the Father on behalf of the people and be able to lead them in the right way without any hypocrisy. And to his family for following suit, and for following his example, so that we can follow the same example and remove every single excuse. And I want to acknowledge, one final acknowledgement, Elder Mitchell and to his family, in a visit to Straightway, Georgia. We had a wonderful time with him and his family, his children, his wife, Sister Erica is very, very mature. You know, you can't look at her age and discern who she is by her age. You know, she has so much wisdom and so much knowledge. And I just want to thank them for coming and staying here with us and spending time with us. And it was an honor to have them. And that's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I was able to see other missions videos, so very encouraging. Always good words coming from those who visit Georgia. Keep it up, Georgia. High five to the Most High Yah who's transformed you. I give him all the glory and honor and praise for he's transforming me, us, all of us, trying to shape and mold us if we are willing, if we are yielding. I appreciate every step along the way, all the seasons that I've had with the Father. I can testify I have no jealousy. I can testify I have no bondage. I can testify that I'm very free. I'm very at peace. I've fought very hard. I've been through a lot with the Father, and I've shed a lot of weight. And I hope that we're all really striving to have that same testimony to say, look what you've done, look what you've done. You know, never to have the mind to be overwhelmed in any circumstance, but to know that there's an end, and it is because of his love that he allows it. So I glorify our Creator. I thank him for cleaving to his people. I thank him very much for the established order. I know that my King would not hear me when I cry or when I pray or hear us, you know, without our submission and surrender to the leadership and authority and the order. If you look throughout all generations of the word, there was always an established, you know, king, a judge, a ruler. Now we have a pastor. And I know that's very foreign talk, you know, to this generation to even hear ruler. You're going to automatically think tyranny. You're going to go to high school history class, and you're going to misjudge how we really function and operate. There's a lot of blessings. Just as Yah spoke to Abraham and said, I'll bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. That's how we live. That's how we function. I do attribute a lot of the blessings to my life, to my surrender to Yah's way, to my commitment, my love for the women. I appreciate my husband's love. He's been an example of love that is literally unwavering since I met him. And he taught me how to love, and he taught me how to love other women because of his strong presence. He has amazing one-liners. You know, his wisdom of experience is incredible, y'all. He's always dropping these little one-lines. It's like, wow, you think on it for a long time. I appreciate our conversation with my husbands. You know, I appreciate the maturity that we have, the trust that he has in me. Just every dynamic about our covenant I really, really appreciate. I embrace the growth, you know, that the covenant and the commitment has brought. And I'm thankful to be able to share any part of my life openly. It brings a lot of repercussions. You know, it brings a lot of maybe even opposition, but it's all worth it. It's very humbling, you know, to be out front for you guys and to be heard. I always say this, I represent a lot of really beautiful women. I represent women who are striving. They may not want to talk or be heard. They may not want to have this microphone, but they do support me, and they do want to grow and love Yah. You know, and they're putting themselves in the right position to do that. Hallelujah. I really thank the Father, of course, for our shepherd. There's no one that I can think of that would ever be more accused. You know, every one of us have an opportunity to accuse him or to hear the accuser of the brethren in our minds against him. And that's a very isolated walk, you know, to be out front and to have that much opposition against you. But I know that he knows his opponent and his enemy, and it's not us. And so Satan's forces are relentless. They've never stopped, and he's just continued to plow, always keeping his mind on the end. And I admire his strength and his commitment of not giving up and not wavering in the open, no matter how weak he's ever gotten, no matter how many tears he's shed or how many times he's wanted to give up. And I know many temptations will come to many men, but we don't, you know, we don't see the wavering. We just don't. He's a great man, great example. Shout out to the courtships, the betrothals, those of you who have been, you know, listening and learning and shifting and changing and adjusting to some of the powerful messages that have been coming out, you know, thank you for being willing to be an example. Thank you for being willing to hear the things that you've never heard, you know. I really appreciate clarity. I appreciate knowing. I mean, there's a lot of us that would go, I don't know, you know, when we're asked certain questions. What does the ministry think about this, this, and this? You might say, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And so when we have messages that are very clear-cut, that are very, you know, precise, easy to discern, it's like, okay, this is the stance. This is what we're doing. I appreciate that clarity because it brings us to one mind. And with one mind, you know, we can be blessed. Hallelujah. Any announcements, Mother Jennifer?
I have no announcements, Sister Ashley. I have nothing. What about you?
No announcements. Of course, we just did a quick countdown on the feast. Leadership meeting coming up. Baki canceled. We're aware. We're following that. Pastor just posted a video right before the show, so I'll finish that. If you haven't seen it, I'll finish it right after the show. He posted a video of him and Elder Rufus in his office talking about, you know, two sides to every story and just explaining why there won't be a meeting. I haven't watched it all. So, oh, Elder Rufus' page. I'm sorry, Straightway Georgia. Hallelujah. So, yeah, tonight's going to be a little different, my sisters. I don't know how long it'll take. I'm going to kind of spring something on Mother Jennifer here. Next week's going to be a good week. I've never had something lined up that early and that advanced, but we had reached out to a sister, and this is next week I'm talking about. We had reached out to a sister who, man, she just continually kept coming to my mind. I haven't seen her in months and months and months and months, so obviously she doesn't live here or fellowship near me, but she's committed and a strength where she's at. And so she just kept coming to my mind. I reached out, hey, you got questions, you got a testimony, you got anything that we could broadcast about, you know, anything that we can bring to light. And I received her email today. I thank you for that. I did reply to your email, and I'm going to save it next week because reading it, it was so meaty that we could literally produce a show out of it. So if nothing happens between now and then, that's what it's going to be. Let's see. Tammy, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, nice and strong. Janice.
Hallelujah.
And Cheyenne.
Hallelujah.
Amanda.
Hallelujah.
Chef. Yes. Granny Barb.
Hallelujah.
And Constance.
Hallelujah.
Bless y'all. That's my crew tonight, my Shayla. Alex, I got no books, no pages for you. Bless my baby. Hallelujah. Hiya. Holy day calendars are available. Thank you. I had a guy call today and ask for one. Am I correct? Does everybody know that if somebody calls, I can send them to that website, correct?
Yeah.
I was thinking in my mind when he first asked, my mind went to a recent video or a blog talk that Pastor had done where he said if you want a holy day calendar, you can call the dining hall. But if I'm not mistaken, I know we don't have any on hand. If I'm wrong, if Mama Nelly's listening or somebody, let me know if I got him wrong because I just took him right to that website. And I thought perhaps Pastor leading people to call the dining hall would just mean that we give them, you know, the correct direction. So I hope I'm all right for that. One for $25, two for $35. It's beautiful. It's worth it. Of course it lasts the whole year. I mean, can I add to my advertisement? It's shiny. What do they call that? It's glossy coating.
Mm-hmm.
Pictures done by Straightway and Steve. Straightway Georgia and Steve and Wenda. What else?
No Photoshop.
No screw-ups on the numbers. No Photoshop. You know, the Gregorian alignment with the sun and the... How can we be fancy? Nice pictures is not fancy. We're trying. We're building. It's really nice, y'all. Hebrew Holy Days calendar. Hallelujah. It's the only way that you're going to know the feast days according to our moon cycle that we observe, right, that we establish our dates off of. Thank you, Brother Steve, for even doing it in advance. I remember the days when Pastor would go out and stare at the moon, you know, counting the slivers, waiting on the new moon and the new phase of the moon, really trying to observe the feast to the best of our ability in this diasporia. So now Steve taking that's a big weight. Everyone who takes any weight off of Pastor that creates a one body effect, thank y'all so much. If you're just even praying and you don't even feel like you're just nothing but the pinky toe, I appreciate
I appreciate what you do. Those who are, you know, in leadership positions and out front and those who have praying lives, I do, man, you wouldn't believe how many of you come to my mind. You know, you wouldn't believe how many people or names are dropped in your heart to pray for, circumstances, things that you could be miles away. You could be far, far, far away and not even knowing that Yah could place something in someone else's spirit concerning your specific circumstance. Like, it would just blow you away. And I encourage you to learn Yah in that manner, you know, and to really seek Him in prayer and growth and develop your tongues with Yah. So tonight, this is all I had. I said, well, hey, it's time for a little game show, you know. not that it's going to be anything like what you catch out there. I'm going to give you some rules, Mother Jennifer. I want you to do something with me, okay? I don't even know what the name is. Sister AO will come up with something. But I'm thinking we could do this for a little while, okay? I'm going to say a word, just one word, and you're going to tell me what comes to mind. Get what you have to say out of you in approximately 1 minute, and then give me a word back. Now, the word that you give me, just one word, is not what I gave you and not about what you just said. Okay? So then I give you one, you give me one, I give you one, okay? If I say,
yes, ma'am.
If I say a word to you, Mother, if I say water, which it won't be that, it will all be whatever comes to mind, whatever comes to heart. You would also repeat my word so that everybody heard it, you know, in case I said it too fast or they're trying to write. So we're going to flow. We're going to do this for, I don't know, a while. Hallelujah to the chat room. Bless y'all. And surely with us going back and forth one word to one word, you'll get something that you can apply for this upcoming week that you can think on that will encourage you until Shabbat to Shabbat to Shabbat till the King comes. There's enough, definitely enough going on, you know, for us to be fed well. And I pray, I always say this show is really just a conversation, you know, between Mother and I, and you guys have an obligation to come or not or listen or not, and it's a good dynamic. So let's kick it off, Mother Jennifer. You ready?
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready, Sister Ashley.
Okay. I'm trying to think. Did I say all the rules? Yes. All the rules. Yeah. Okay. Words for the show. I'm going to give you my first one that comes to mind. You ready? She said yes.
I'm ready.
Here we go, y'all. We're kicking it off. Danger.
Danger. Okay. The word is danger. We have a shepherd who is in a position where he sees danger, and he warns us as the sheep, and he hides us from that danger. And those that listen and take heed, those are the prudent ones, and they will be protected, and they'll be hidden. But the ones that don't listen are the ones that are going to run toward that danger, even though they've been warned, and those are the simple. Sister Ashley, your word is maturity.
Maturity. Very first person that comes to mind out of the word is Abigail, because I'm going to try to get this in 1 minute. Abigail was a woman married to a man who was unconverted, someone who was wicked. I'm going to go hypothetical for a second. She had to produce a sort of character that was beyond her own husband's. And that's a good reflection for maturity, because she had to serve him, be obedient to him, cause no conflict, and also represent him when the chance came. The reason I like that example of that woman's maturity is because Yah, in the end, prevailed, heard her, and turned everything around for her. But I enjoy her maturity because living it is very different from us reading it. And her living that maturity had to be a lot of situations that occurred that she really had to produce mental strength, and she had to produce past her own feelings. So I got to say, for maturity, you produce it past what you feel. Hallelujah. All right, so your word, Mother Jennifer, is? Counsel.
Counsel. When you seek counsel, Daughters of Zion, you never want to take for granted. You know, if you're in a position to receive wise counsel, you don't want to take it for granted. You don't want to continue to revisit the same issues with the one that's counseling you, causing the counselor to grow weary of you or to be grieved. You want to make sure that you pay close attention to the wise counsel that you receive. And when you go back, that you have taken care of the steps, you have paid attention to every single step that you've been given, just to let that counselor know that you're serious. And then going forward, if you need more counsel, they can judge from there if you have seriously considered what has been said before they move forward with you. Sister Ashley, your word.
Wait, Jennifer, pause. There was one more rule I wanted to say. We can't add to each other's dialogues, which is something I wanted to do right then, like naturally. So I'm like, nope, that's the rule. I'm not adding to you. You're not adding to me. We're going to the next word. Let's try like maybe 20 words a piece. It's flowing well. So you're on number three.
Okay, your word, Sister Ashley, is contrary.
Contrary. Initially, I think of the spirit that's inside of you that has an expression and a communication. All of us have an expression and a communication, so you can express contrary natures any given time. Contrary natures are always known and always detected, but usually believe in themselves to hide. So contrary spirits may flock together. Contrary spirits may seek familiar spirits of expression or familiar spirits of communicating to each other, but they're seen. You know, they're very in the open. You can be contrary to your husband in a moment. You can be contrary to a sister in a room. You know, you can be contrary to the father and go a completely opposite and different way than everyone else. It's very loud. It's very, you know, easily seen. But when you're new to really getting your feelers out there and discerning things, you may wonder what you're seeing, you know? You may really wonder what you're seeing. But contrary, yeah, it's an expression and a communication of the spirit going a different direction. Hallelujah. All right. Your word, Mother Jennifer, I'm going with worship. Worship.
Worship. You know, worship makes me think about the broadcast when pastor and elder, they were on together. And I'm going to look something up real quick. Give me 2 seconds.
All right.
They read from Psalm 45, where it says, we're going to, at verse 10, it says, "Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thy ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy master, and worship thou him." And when they read that, it made me think about how a daughter of Zion is to leave, you know, the people that she's been raised with. You know, she's to leave their customs, and she is to leave the things that she's learned from the world. You know, I'm thinking about the Hebrew daughters of Zion. And in that, there's a worship that takes place. You know, it says, "For he is thy master, and worship thou him." So there's a worship that takes place in the act of, you know, forgetting those things, forgetting your father's house, and cleaving to those new things. And the king will greatly desire your beauty. And there's a worship in that. So that's what makes me think about worship. Sister Ashley, your word, I'm going to say etiquette.
Etiquette. Can we say code? A code of behavior. And, of course, we use the word custom here a lot. But you can't overlook procedure. So I kind of want to connect etiquette and procedure, because maybe everyone believes themselves to have a personal moral standard of etiquette
you know, a custom and a code of behavior, like what mom's always done, what grandma's always done, what family's always done, what you're, you know, what you're used to, what you've seen, what you've been exposed to. There is a visual representation of your etiquette at all times. But if you are in the faith and you're given opportunities to observe someone else's mannerisms, you're given opportunities to learn from others. So when you're still learning and you're still observing, you may not be an example of etiquette yet. It's like I said, how mama did it or how grandma did it could be more destructive than you realize. So you have to keep visually learning from the few or the one example, whoever you've put in front of yourself. And you don't just believe that you represent etiquette, but you allow the true Ruach to mold your etiquette without end. Truly without end, you know, from the slouch of the way you sit, from your appearance, your smell, your walk, your ladylike femininity, just the code of behavior, you know, for you, you're representing your husband, raising your children, there is a procedure. So I want to tie that word procedure into etiquette most definitely. Mother Jennifer, everybody enjoying this? This is, you know, a little different, right? So you can get something from it. Hallelujah. Shout out to Goshen. Shout out to South Carolina. Shout out Praise Land, Promised Land. Bless y'all. Kentucky, The Rock, everybody. Texas. Hallelujah. Sorrow. The Jennifer Sorrow.
Sorrow. We don't know what sorrow is. We don't know the proper way to manifest sorrow in our hearts. You know, the way that we've been taught of the world, it teaches that, you know, you sorrow as far as condemning yourself, feeling sorry for yourself, self-pity, and the world, the sorrow that the world teaches you will bring nothing but just a bunch of condemnation. And then you end up repeating the same patterns, making the same mistakes, because you don't know what the proper level of sorrow is that you need to have. But we're taught that the sorrow of Yah is what actually brings a change of heart, and it brings repentance, a repentance that, you know, you'll never revisit these things again, because it's the sorrow of Yah. It's godly sorrow, and it's not the sorrow of this world. Sister Ashley, your word is speech.
Speech. It's always mental before it's spoken. You know, speech is a created expression of the flesh, right? And we're taught that it flows from the heart. But the flow goes from heart to the loosest member on our body, our mouth, you know. It is, speech is the most needed repentance for all vessels, right? Mama Lily says, a lot of truth is said in jest. A lot of truth is said in jest. You also have to consider Paul's speech. When the word says his speech was contemptible, I'm like, wow, that means he was not esteemed at all. He was despised for his speech. Speech is a weighty word, but remember, it's always mental first. There's a verse in the Apocrypha that says a wise man considers every word spoken. You know, that's why women and men, a few words are so honorable, because their consideration and their reflection of their speech before anything's ever said is an incredible process that some or most will not even conquer. And that is the temperance and the self-control, you know, that Christ wants us all to have, you know, especially as women. So, man, if you can tame that member, hallelujah. Ah, Mother Jennifer. It'd be cool to have a little music in the background, like, doo-doo-doo-doo. You know, nothing like that, though. We'd be annoyed by that. A little music in the background, little buzzers if you go over your minute, you know. I'm going to give you honor. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you honor.
When I think about the word honor, honor is the word. You know, Mother Carol taught us long ago. I'm talking about the women in Georgia. When we first got started and Pastor Dow purchased this home where we live now, this main home on the land. And we were so grateful. We were so thankful. And, you know, we just continued to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I remember Mother Carol looking at us, and she said, the way that you show your gratitude is by honoring the Most High through honoring the man of Yah. You know, honoring him in the things that you do and really listening to the things that he says, you know, because he has watch over your soul. And the way that you can thank him instead of your words is with your actions. So that's what I think about the word honor. Sister Ashley, your word is love.
Love. Love is the act of lowliness and servitude. It's my motivation and force that compels my obedience to the law. And it's everyone's motivating force that compels their obedience to Yah. It's my reason for my adversaries. Love is a very limited, shouldn't be, but it is a very limited expression in the body of Christ. Love is limited. The lowliness and the servitude is limited by the hates inside you, by the perceptions inside you, by the past experiences inside you, by the demonic torments inside you. Love is limited by miscommunications. Love is limited by venom and accusations. Love is always a measure. You know, we have a measure. And oddly enough, and this is like always been so strange to me, but it almost always, in my opinion, proves true that you'll never see that someone loves more than you do until you arrive to that measure. You can never love like pastor, love like so-and-so, 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 because the requirement to produce love is on different measures. And so once you produce your measure, you do go up a measure. And when you, that's why experience plays a part. You know, there's just so many ladder steps. You know, it's definitely not a tit for tat or a he and she is better at all. It's just, it's something that is in your vessel, and it just continues to abound. It just continues to grow. Hey, let's hit a song. Let's take a pause. Mother Jennifer, I'm going to tell a quick story about the song.
Sure.
Back in the day, Mother Jennifer was like maybe 2009. At the community, we had AM/FM radios. Sammy and Johnny just heard this story. I've told it before. I told you, Steph, you listened long enough to the show, you're going to hear everything all over again, okay? Don't be bored. Just go with me. We listen to pastors' stories again and again, right? They're new to somebody. So we used to have AM/FM radios in our house. It was like 88.1 and then, or no, 89.1, and then it went to 92 something. And what was on our radio? Pastor had a radio tower antenna in his yard, and whatever he broadcast from his personal computer went to our radios. And he played songs, hymns, A.A. Allen broadcast, lots of old-timey, you know, healing evangelists, Win Worley's, really motivational. 24 hours a day, we had that playing in our bathrooms, our kitchen, our house, our shop, our garage. It was great. The word was continually playing. It became Judah's broadcast. I think Brother Steve, bless you, Brother Steve, been with us a long time. Judah's broadcast was on the internet, straightwaytruth.com, and That's where messages began to broadcast. And now, of course, it's Blog Talk and it's YouTube and it's, you know, it's had many different faces. This is a good song right here. I'm going to step away for just a moment, and I'm going to play this song for you guys. This is one of the, that's all I got tonight. All I got tonight is three songs that we used to listen to back in the day on the AM/FM radio station right here on the land. And, man, I love it. So we're going to listen to it probably all the way through. 4 minutes. You ready, Mother Jennifer? You got 4 minutes. Get some more words together for me, okay?
I'm ready, Sister Ashley. Take your time.
All right. Bless y'all. Hope y'all enjoying the show. Be right back.
I do, Sister Ashley. I remember that song. It is a very beautiful song and very relevant even today.
You are as old as I am, Mother. Hallelujah. Hey, whose turn is it? Whose turn is it? Mine? I'm giving you a word.
You did the last word, so you have to give me a word next.
Okay, I'm giving you a word. If you're just tuning in, we're tossing words back and forth to each other. We have about a minute to try to give what comes to mind first, and
hopefully produce a great conversation for you guys tonight. We're going to make it to maybe 20 words at least. You can always throw your thoughts in the chat room. You're more than welcome to do so. If you have any questions, let us know. Hallelujah. All right, your word, sanctification.
Sanctification. Sanctification is a process that is not always pretty, but it produces a beautiful result. It's designed to set you apart and to distinguish you from who you used to be compared to who Yah intends you to be. And it brings about your identity in Him. So again, it's a process. It's not always pretty, but as you learn your identity through Him, it is a process that produces something extremely beautiful. Sister Ashley, your word is fit.
Oh,
F-I-T. Fit.
F-I-T, fit. Y'all know I got to go over here to the word real quick. My first thought is fit for the master's use. And that encompasses a tremendous change and transformation that is required of you. To be fit for the master's use is a lot of things got to move out of the way, you know. And dying out for that process is supposed to be surrendered to. You know, you can't just jump it or skip it or just automatically be fit. But I also think about the man who looks back is not fit for the kingdom. You have two dynamics there, you know, fit for the master's use and then the one who's not fit for the kingdom. Everything that we're doing is making us fit, you know, similar pattern to weightlifting, swimming, running, you know, calisthenics. Your spirit is being made fit, you know, for the kingdom. If not, it's fit for the dunghill, right? Fit for the pit. So I think if we never lose focus of that challenge, you know, that you always work out your salvation with fear and trembling, that you're always moving forward, that you're getting fit, you know, for His use, and you see the process as His manifest love, you know, then you won't hinder Him. You'll be fit for His use. That's my first thought. Next word for you, and see, I get to cheat a little bit because I have more time to come up with my words. When the idea hit me, I asked Deacon Bell for a list for Mother Jennifer. So, ha! I only have one word that I came up with. So we're going to do a little 21 at the end. But I had one word, and Deacon Bell, he just started rolling words for me. So my next word for you is inadequacy.
Inadequacy. You know, inadequacy can be looked at a couple different ways. You can feel inadequate in your flesh. You know, you can feel that you're inadequate, feeding condemnation and causing you to be passive and causing you to be inactive in particular areas. Or you can understand and know that without the Spirit of Yah, without you leaning on Him, that you are completely inadequate, which will cause you to lean on Him more and will cause you to thrive even more because you know that He is the one who is actually doing the work. So it depends on how you look at inadequacy, but without Him, we know that we are nothing and we are inadequate without Him, and that should feed us to strive and to really tap into His Spirit even more. Sister Ashley, your next word is change.
Change. Change is an act of becoming different. And if we consider the making and molding and altering, modifying process, transformation process, as a, gosh, like a sixth sense, you know, honestly, like a sixth sense. It's so necessary.
It's every single one of us, we have to make changes. So it's kind of like something inside you has to flip and go, okay, instead of kicking against the change and resisting it and, like, you know, with all the rejection, wishing that change didn't have to happen, wishing you had already arrived, something flips and you're readily able to change inside you, readily able to look for the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. It's going to make me better, fit for the master, fit for the master, you know. So it's like the change should be for Yah's glory and not for self. And the change should be for his glory and not self-gratification, you know, not to just be able to say, I did. Change should not have a feeling of rejection attached to it. And that's a big one. Your change, your altering, your molding, your stepping forward, your transforming in Christ Jesus should not have rejection attached to it. You know, if I present something before you that you need to change, or an inadequacy, for example, that she just spoke of, something that you have to, or now it's in your mind that you need to produce this, then it shouldn't have the rejection attached to it that you are less or insecure or inferior. It should be a yielding of the change that's going to bring Yah glory. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, we got to go to the basic thankfulness. Talk to me. Thankfulness.
Thankfulness. Thankfulness is a good one. It's, you know, thankfulness is something that matures you. When you learn to be thankful, not only when things are going well for you, but also when you're faced with trials or hardships, you know, if you learn to thank him during those times that seem tough for what you're actually learning, it brings an expectation of him working on your behalf if you obey whatever is truly required. So thankfulness is something that it really matures you. And you can measure your level of maturity based on when you're thankful. When am I thankful? Am I thankful sometimes, or am I always thankful? You know, is it hard for me to see what I need to be grateful or thankful for? So it is something that truly matures you when you can learn how to be thankful no matter what. Your word, Sister Ashley, is cleave. Cleave. I think you're muted, Sister Ashley.
Hey, here I am. I was muted. I was talking. Yes, ma'am. You are right. The image of cleave is that a man will leave his father and mother and cleave into his wife. That's the image, you know, like what cleaving should be like. I was stunned. Look, I told y'all I got 1 minute, right? Here I go with story time. I was stunned when I was talking to a young daughter of Zion this week who tells me she had never seen a mom and dad in a home growing up, not in her own home, not in her friend's home, not, you know, it's like, what? What? You never saw that cleave? You know what I mean? That commitment to never leave or waver, the opposite of betrayal, never saw that cleave. No, she never saw it until she got to the faith, you know. And I consider the father and how men being made in his image cleave unto their wife in that same manner, but they also how we all should be cleaving to Yah's people. And, you know, we avoid each other and we, you know, have all these dynamics of not caring for one another and very selfish and isolated. And, you know, just this whole, you know, American culture has really robbed us of this cleaving process, the power that comes from it, the love that comes from it. I just admire. I admire the image from the beginning and its purity, the man leaving the father and mother and cleaving to the wife. And I admire Yah cleaving to his people, representing that commitment to never leave or waver from us, though we have betrayed, you know. And I don't think a woman actually easily represents cleave, not from our society. You know, we have to have that example. We have to see it, feel it, you know, touch it. It's got to be manifest in front of us for us to go, oh, that's what commitment is, you know? Like, we've just been so mind-raped. But, Clee, that's a good word. Hallelujah. Opposite of betrayal for sure. All right, Mom Jennifer, number 9 for you. Communication.
Communication. Communication is what I believe to be one of the greatest issues or the common denominators when you dealing with things that go awry or things that go wrong. Poor communication, lack of communication, no communication, poor understanding of what was communicated. You know, that is typically the number one common denominator when things go wrong. Also, on the flip side, when things go well, you know, the common denominator is good, solid communication, making sure that you're clear in what you're communicating, making sure that you're concrete in your words. There's a communication even, you know, with your eye contact, making sure the person is really paying attention to what you're saying, making sure that they understand what you're saying. You know, again, it's very important when you're dealing with issues. And I've noticed that when I counsel people, communication is typically the thing that is missed. You know, there's a breakdown in communication somewhere. So once you go back and you fix that level of communication, then it's easy to fix whatever has gone wrong. Your word, Sister Ashley, is abound. Abound.
Hey, a little pat on the back. I'm doing pretty good not adding anything to all your words when something comes to my mind and I'm just skipping right to mine. Hallelujah. I'm keeping all of the I want to be like, man, that was really good, Mother Jennifer, like that you said this. And, I, you know how we usually flow. So, hallelujah. 45 seconds left. Abound. Grace abounds. Iniquity abounds. The suffering of Christ abounds. We should be abounding in faith. It reminds me of, like, leaping. You know, we should be abounding in knowledge. We should be abounding in diligence. What's that? Think of it, Chef. What'd you say to me? A quote that Pastor had said, living below. We're living below. Who? You'll think of it. We should be abounding in our love towards one another. You know, the word talks about how your fruit can abound. I guess it's kind of like overflow, increase, be in abundance, abound, you know, excel, abound. It's not about what you feel, you know. It's legitimately, concretely what you're experiencing. Am I gaining this? Yes. Am I growing in this? Yes. Producing this? Yes. You know, it should be like that. So overflowing, abounding. For you, number 10 would be yield. Yield.
Yield. I'm going to keep this one simple. Whoever and whatever you yield yourself or give yourself over to, you become a servant to that very thing. So you can either choose to yield yourself to sin, which will bring death, or you can yield yourself to obedience, which will bring about righteousness. So whatever you yield yourself to, the fruit of your life will show in that particular area. So you'll either show sin, which is death, or obedience, which is righteousness. Your word, Sister Ashley, is nurture. Nurture.
Nurture. She got some good words, huh? Everybody going, mm-hmm. I'm going to call him to the microphone. Hey, you're no, it's fine. Oh, my goodness. Nurture should be the true definition of feminism. It should be the true definition of feminism. I think of nurture as concretely, y'all. It would be embracing the education and the disciplinary correction, the chastisement, the instruction that you have for your child, but also embracing the education, the disciplinary chastisement and instruction that Yah and your husband have for you. That whole, you know, not just the affection of the flesh, like a tender hug, as we would assume nurture would be, and it is, but the whole package, you know, the whole package of motherhood, the whole package of being a woman, the whole package of being a sister and a friend, and, you know, that nurture is like, I'm embracing this, you know, I'm embracing the education of my own mind, I'm embracing the discipline and the correction that I need, and I'm applying it to my life, and I'm returning that and giving it to my husband's child, and it's just being a female, you know, being a female, being the definition of feminism, I guess. I don't think it's just that that hug, you know. I think you can take it beyond that. That was number 10 for both of us. We're going to another song. All my songs tonight, I'm walking out just a moment ago. I stepped away when the other song was going, and Grandma Barb wrote another one down for me. I'm like, yes. And I didn't think that I would be able to find it while we're live on the show because, you know, you got to find, like, the one. And, gosh, I got it on CD, y'all. So I don't even know, you know, which one. But it popped right up. I'm like, oh, this is it. This is the true, if you could say American history music, that's this guy right here. This is the kind of stuff you'll find me listening to when you pop in on me by myself. And you'll be like, what? You listen to this? Oh, yes, absolutely. I can't say I was born in the wrong generation, but I sure would fit somewhere else. Look, my mouth is dying on me. In the mighty name of Jesus. Like Pastor says, the devil or the battery? Let's see. We're going to test it out here. It's the battery. Yep, it was the battery. All right, come on. I just need like an inch. We're like 1 inch from the play button. Look, they're going for batteries now. I guess we got to talk while we get a battery. Yes, we do. No, look, is that a battery? Look, Tammy's bringing out her, is that the same one? Yes, it is. She's bringing out her flashlight that she needs tonight. See that sacrifice? I can't guarantee you're going to see on your way home. So I'm about to drain it. Let's see. Yep, it was a battery. John the Revelator. Oh, I like the soul music. Just the voice, you know? Not all the noise. Here we go. Be right back. We say we'll be right back. It's not even cooking.
Tell me who's that riding? John the Revelator. Tell me who's that riding? John the Revelator, tell me who's that writing? John the Revelator wrote the book of the seven seas. Who's that writing? John the Revelator, tell me who's that writing? John the Revelator, well, who's that writing? John the Revelator wrote the book of the seven seas. You know, God walked down in the cool of the day. Call Adam by his name, and he refused to answer because he's naked and ashamed. Who's that writing? John the Revelator. Who's that writing? John the Revelator. Who's that writing? John the Revelator wrote the book of the seven seas. You know, Christ had 12 apostles. And 3 he led away. He said, watch with me 1 hour till I go yon and pray. Tell me who's that riding? John the Revelator. Tell me who's that riding? John the Revelator. Who's that riding? John the Revelator. Close the book by the seven seas. Who's that riding? John the Revelator, tell me who's done writing. John the Revelator, who's done writing? John the Revelator, wrote the book of the seven seas. Christ came on the Easter morning. Mary and Martha was down to see. Go tell my disciples to meet me in Galilee. Tell me who's writing. John the Revelator, tell me who's that writing. John Reveille. Tell me who's done riding. John Reveille wrote the book of the seven seals. Who's that riding? John Reveille. Who's that riding? John Reveille. Tell me who's that riding. John Reveille wrote the book of the seven seals.
Hallelujah. Wrote the book of the seven seals. Yes, indeed. Hallelujah. All right, let's continue. Let's continue. Number 11 for you, Mother Jennifer. Number 11, deceitful.
Deceitful. Deceitful is a word that a lot of us had no idea about until we came this way, until we came to the faith, because we were deceived. You know, our hearts are so deceitful that you will immediately be tempted to look at everyone else's flaws and disregard your own, when in fact it's always wise to focus on you and take care of your own shortcomings, your own faults. And when you set out to do that, you won't be trapped by your own deceitfulness. But if you're continually pointing the finger at everyone else and refusing to look at the wickedness in your own heart, then you fall into a category of deceitfulness, of being deceived by your own heart. And then you'll wonder why everyone else is prospering and you're still struggling with the same things over and over again. Your word, Sister Ashley, is rebel.
Rebel. Good job answering, by the way, Mother Jennifer. I always enjoy your speech. I can listen to you talk for hours. Rebel. I think I'm going to speak for myself. Initially, rebellion was something very grandiose and largely visual, like when I had not truly introspected, you know, looked inside myself, you know, just coming into the faith years and years ago. Rebellion was like, yes, it was written about. Yes, it was idolatry. It was whoredoms. It was these accounts, you know. But when you bring it down in size, you know, take away the grandiose, take away the largely visual rebellion, like, oh, that's pretty obvious. Bring all that down. To be a rebel is to act out your own ideas without considering your Creator's mind. To act out your own ways without even considering your Creator or your head. You know, to make daily decisions for yourself without the consideration or thought of your husband, your family, your tribe, the sister beside you, the family beside you, you know, the household that you're in. It's really largely the focus and worship of self. And it's really easy to commit rebellion. It's really easy to be a rebel just to merely walk out self without any consideration of anyone else. Yeah, I think that would be my answer. All right, so your word, blindness.
Blindness. You know, blindness causes you to not spiritually see things as they are. And I'm thinking about a spiritual condition, you know, to see things the wrong way. You can be blind to yourself. You can be blind to see love as others actually try to love you. You could be blinded to that. You could be blinded to righteous judgment. You could be blinded to truth. And it goes back to, you know, deceitful. If you're deceived because of your own heart, because you're refusing to see, then that's when you're falling into the areas of being blinded, you know, blinded to the truth, blinded to others trying to love you, blinded to judgment, actually being righteous. So, you know, blindness, it causes you to not really see things the way they are. And because of that, you'll be deceived. Your word, Sister Ashley, is impression.
Blindness was another temptation to interject my own thought, and I do really well, just so y'all know, you know, the inner communication that need not be said because we're in the middle of a game. And you know, interjecting those little points here and there, Mother Jennifer. impression. Of course, the worldly idea. What is it? What do they say? The first impression is what? The lasting one or something like that? Is that the world says that your first impression is the lasting impression? Maybe that has true sentiments. But with a balance in your character, your first impression should be your last as well. Like who you are at all times, you know? You should be easily approached. You should be hospitable. You should be, you know, A to Z, whatever, producing the fruits of the Most High Yah. And in your first impression, you exemplify that. And in your 100th impression, you exemplify that. And, you know, you carry that character everywhere you go. So I also think of the young daughters and how impressionable they are and how that's so easy for any of you to forget. You know, how each of us can actually give them Christ or not, how we can show them how to walk, how to sass, how to talk back, or how to, you know, how to conversate, how to be a lady. You know, there's just so many things we can impress upon those watching us. I would end by saying your impression should be worth imitating. You know, your impression should always be worth imitation. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, joy.
Joy is a choice. It's something that you choose every single moment, every single day. Joy brings strength, and anything that is the opposite of joy is what is going to take your strength away. Depression and negativity, sadness, that brings weakness. But joy will bring strength. I'll keep that one short because it's pretty simple and self-explanatory. Your word, Sister Ashley, is direct. Direct.
Direct. Oh, my goodness, y'all. If y'all know me personally, you know I was not always direct. You know, you let your yay be yay and your nay be nay, Christ said. And that was something that, for years I was trying to get there. Like to minimalize all this communication and be direct, but at the same time, be you and be your personality and be what someone else needs you to be. Okay, so take the fluff away, let your yah be yah. But to reevaluate your communication for a second, my sisters, I actually talked to some of the community head wives about communication. Not all, but I kind of give the same thing every time. You should reevaluate how you communicate to sisters. All of us should, because most of us believe that we're clear in our communication. But when you come into the faith, there's a lot of spider webs to get through. You know, when you're talking to people who are, you know, having their own battles, having their own wars, and going to war against Satan, which means now they have thoughts in their minds, accusations in their minds, you know. Goodness, all that premeditated garbage, that junk, that dross that floats to the top, and you believe that you're communicating well, but to cut out all the extra words and cut out all the abstract, like, well, I think, and the maybes and the what ifs and the, you know, like whatever kind of fluff you want to talk about. It took me a long time to try to get that out. There's a place for it, though. It's not that I can't say, well, I think this or maybe or what if. I don't mean that, everything in balance, but depending on how you need to apply your directness, who you're speaking to, how she receives you or not, you know, you just simply need to say what needs to be said and nothing else, and it takes time. It takes time. Once again, going back to a word that she asked me earlier about, Mother Jennifer, in speech, is to really consider what you say before you say it and not being afraid to slow down a conversation. You know, you can feel intimidation in a conversation, and you can feel your own anxieties and your own anticipations and fears and things that will come up to your chest. But slow that down, because there's no rush to communicate back, you know? You stare at me for the next 30 seconds while I think about what I'm about to say. You know what I mean? I don't got to blah, 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 blah. You know? I don't. And so it takes time. It takes maturity, of course, but to be very direct, just to let your yay be yay, nay be nay. And anybody knows, you know, especially for leadership, like how confusing it would be to hear a lot of, well, maybe we'll do, and the maybe we'll do, and the maybe we'll do's, you know, and the maybe we'll do's ain't getting done, so you're just left in a lot of confusion. So if you're someone that others are listening to when you speak, be direct, you know. It's not, what do you think about such and such? No, it's, hey, do it this way, you know. That's a time to ask another person, and I kind of got off on, you know, how we as sisters communicate when we lead projects and things, and sisters on other communities. I kind of went that way with the directness, but that really is, for me, what made me more direct was really recognizing all the mistakes and the communication evaluation that I had to do. I had to do it, my sisters, because I'm like, that is just too much being, you know, you so-called think you're communicating. You really do. But hallelujah. Less words, yay be yay, nay be nay. My Jennifer, redemption. Redemption.
Redemption. You know, if we really understood redemption, you know, the fact that a heavy debt was cleared on our behalf by the blood of the Messiah, then we would understand that we don't belong to ourselves, and we're not free to behave or to act or to think however we want. We would speak in a particular manner, or carry ourselves or behave in a particular manner that would always bring joy and glory to our Father, if we truly understood what redemption is. The fact that, you know, our debt was cleared, our debt was paid, and we don't belong to ourselves. Your word, Sister Ashley, is virtue.
All right, little pause for a pun. On the count of three, everybody tell me what just got brought in.
Sushi!
But wait, smoked salmon rolled up in a nice
seaweed
wrap with some carrots, cucumbers, and cream cheese. Here's Tomoko. Bless you, Tomoko. Four. I'm like, give me four. No, they do such a good job. They do. Sorry, Mother Summer, Nelly, if you're listening and you didn't get any, I apologize. I know they enjoy it too. They enjoy fish. Okay. You said, what was my word, Mother? I apologize. Distracted, the smells, the...
Your word, Sister Ashley, is virtue.
Virtue. Man, Jesus said virtue has gone out of me. Y'all know that, right? Virtue has gone out of me. Paul said to think on things that have virtue. And Paul said to add to your faith virtue. Now, this was interesting because I've done a quick word study on virtue before. This might be a little bit like, what? Yeah, go ahead. Thank you. And add to your faith virtue. It's kind of like, okay, add to your faith excellence, right? But check out the Strong's concrete meaning of virtue. It means manliness. Manliness. So Jesus said manliness went out of him, right? An example of strength. Paul said to think on things that bring manliness. I'll bring it down to us for sure, but add to your faith manliness. Add to your manliness knowledge. So obviously it's not we be men and become men at all. But I do admire things that are written in the Word that say, you know, the woman with the seven sons said she had womanish thoughts but with a manly stomach. You know, she engaged into a strength that was something she had to produce, you know. We can get a strength about us that has a virtue or an ability to be added to. We can get a strength about us, my sisters, or a virtue about us that can leave our body, like be poured into someone else. Be, you know, you can influence someone else with your virtue, you know, with your excellence. My Jennifer, number 15, addiction.
Addictions. Addictions can exist when we try to fill up an area that our flesh desires instead of leaning on the ways of Yah and leaning on His Spirit. It's a void that is not filled in the Spirit that your flesh tries to take care of. Try to satisfy it with your flesh. I'm going to look this up real quick. Give me 1 second.
Yes.
Okay, in the dictionary, it says, the meaning of addiction is a strong need to regularly have something or do something that is harmful to you. So addictions can come, you know, in all forms. They can come in the forms of food, of alcohol, gambling. You can have sexual addictions. And those are the things that exist when you feed your flesh to try to take care of something that only Yah can fulfill in the spirit. So that's addiction. Sister Ashley, your word is prove. Prove.
Prove. Hallelujah. Granny Diane, if you're listening and she cleans this room, there will be absolutely no residue of any sushi for you to see. Right, team?
Yes,
not on the floor, not nothing. She cleans it, you know, before the Sabbath, so it's already clean when we come in here. Prove. Oh, man, y'all. Y'all know we're doing it to each other all the time, right? Testing, discerning, examining. We're doing it to each other all the time. You know, maybe you never thought about it, that you're doing it. But that's what creates the uneasiness in the atmosphere. The uneasiness, like if you're not familiar with eyes on you. You know, there's a lot of eyes on you in the way. There's a lot of eyes on me. A lot of eyes on you. You coming and going in and out of Israel. You're going to be accountable, you know, so you're being proven at all times. A lot of people can't take that pressure, you know. We're really being tested. So when I think about prove, I think about each of us being proven, each of us being tested, of course, at all times, even by the angels, you know, the things that we can't see and the things that Yah is allowing to happen in the supernatural. There's a lot going on, hallelujah, but we're doing it, we're proving each other all the time. That's why it's hurtful when somebody fails you. You didn't see it coming. You know, somebody betrays you, you didn't see it coming. Somebody acts out a character, you didn't see it coming. You know, sometimes you did see it coming because you proved them already. You know, that's just part of this faith. We got to hit another song. We're at 15. We got 5 words left. We are going to another song. I know you'll remember, Granny Barb. This is for all my straightway sisters on the land. If you're hearing or listening or ever able to go back, this is for you, you and you, the old hub, all 5 of us, and, of course, everyone else who benefits. All right, here I go. I got a battery.
Bless you all your life. My land, please don't tear me down.
chance, but they never cherish our suffering. They understand our accomplishments, but never see our scars. I am here, my friend, but it was never my strength that brought me through. The psalmist said it was a mighty arm of God that delivered me. When evil had encompassed me, when sadness was my friend, and confusion my company, you see, my neighbors to dance with me is to dance with the pain of my past. So now you see me smiling, don't tear me down. It was God, it was God,
hello.
It was God. When you see me smiling, please don't tear me down. When you see my blessings, please don't tear me down. It was through my trials that I came out more than a conqueror through Jesus, yes. Oh, when you see me smiling, please don't tear me down. When you see my blessings, please don't pull me down. It was through my trials that I came out more than a conqueror through Jesus, yes. When you see me smiling, tear me down. When you see my blessings, please don't pull me down. It was
through my trials. Yeah, more than a conqueror. Y'all enjoy that?
You like that, Tammy?
Yes. Yes, we like that song. Mother Jennifer, we're on number 16, headed to the home stretch. Whose turn is it? Mine. I'm giving you something. Mother Jennifer, ready for the next one?
I am ready for the next one.
All right, five more. Not so bad thinking on the fly. Poverty.
Poverty. You know, I've seen a mindset of poverty in people desiring deliverance, people getting deliverance. Poverty can be a spirit, a mindset that can exist because of your past. Even if you have physical money, and you've had a past of poverty, you can still carry around the mentality of poverty. You can be afraid to let stuff go. You can be afraid of throwing things away or continually stacking up or hoarding things, maybe because of your history of poverty that was never dealt with. And it could stem from a lack of trust that you will be provided for by the Most High, or it can go the other way. You can expect everything to be given to you. You can have a spirit of entitlement, which could be tied into a spirit or a mindset of poverty as well. So that was the first thing that came to mind, hearing that word poverty. Sister Ashley, your word is suppress.
Oh, it's weighty, y'all. It's weighty. It's weighty, weighty, weighty. It's a burden. It's a burden to suppress, but it's a practice, too. It's a practice. So, since you practice suppressing, women do. We do that. You also have to practice releasing. And that's new. That's new. You know, well, I'm not saying new if you've been around 5 years, but it might be new if you've been here one or so. You know, what can you suppress? Your emotions, your actions that you do in secret, your thoughts of your hurt and your pain that are revisited every time people say certain things. They have no clue that they're touching a trigger and a button, you know. Should you suppress? Maybe. To express maturity. But never suppressing anything to the Most High Yah. Never. You will become completely unveiled naked before him and very free, very free, in a really gut-wrenching, sorrowful, anguish relationship, you know. But yeah, suppression is a weighty burden. So if you feel yourself heavy and weighted down, it is because you're suppressing something, often bigger than you, you know, tougher than you, harder to understand. And so you gotta let it out. All the time, all the time, all the time. Sometimes one time is not enough, you know. Don't get in the practice of just because we say you shouldn't be revisiting something that you don't revisit releasing something to the Father. You know, you might not want to wear out a deliverance worker, but you can wear out the coattail of your Creator. You know, that's a completely different thing. So you want to be able to, there's nothing I wouldn't say to Yah. He knows everything I've ever hated about him, everything I've ever hated about his people, and everything I've ever hated about myself. I've said it all. I've exposed it all within myself because it was seen already. So, you know, suppression will bring drugs, movies, escapes, you know, lust, pornographies. Suppressing things is not good. It's not good. We weren't created to suppress. We weren't created to suppress. We were created to express and release to our Creator, you know? So, next one for you, my Jennifer, religious.
Religious. I got something. Religious. Okay, something came to my mind. Hold on one moment. I need 5 seconds.
When you see me smiling.
Okay, religious. I think about if anyone among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. So when I hear that, I have to ask myself, do I have a relationship with Yah? Do I have a true relationship with Yah? And if I do, then that would cause me to bridle my tongue, to have control over my tongue, and to not be deceived, to not deceive myself. Because being religious or having religion alone will not do that. It's all about your personal relationship with the Most High Yah. And that will cause you to conduct yourself in a manner that will please him. It has nothing to do with being religious. It has everything to do with your relationship with him. Your word, Sister Ashley, your word is plant. Plant.
Plant. Time to plant, right? And it's time to pluck up. That means inside you. There's a time to plant inside you. And there's a time to pluck up inside you. It's always the time to grow, right? It's just always one step forward. Time to plant is one step forward. A time to pluck up is one step forward. You know, oh gosh, one of the fearful verses, you know, early on when you're memorizing Bible verses, right, Granny Barb, we're memorizing or we're reading, me and her spent hours, you know, bless her, for everyone she pours into, reading the word. And one of the ones that was like, oh, my gosh, it said, plow iniquity and sow wickedness. You'll reap the same. Plow iniquity and you sow wickedness, you'll reap the same. And the reaping process is really terrifying. If you haven't been in the way long enough, you don't even notice reaping in your life. But it's coming. The word also says sow. I think of sow when you say plant. I think that's why my mind's going there, but like sow tears and you reap joy. You know, considering each of us as a field, I think that's where my mind goes to sowing, because planting means sowing, and there's so much that we can allow into ourselves, you know, so much. And there's so much that we can guard ourselves from, too, and get strong enough not to let a seed be planted. But that's what I think about, the field of a woman, you know, or myself. Number 18 for you, vanity.
Vanity. You know, vanity can come in so many forms. I think immediately we think about vanity as it pertains to looks, but you can have vanity in your opinion. You can be vain in your mind. You can be vain in your behavior. You could be vain in your intent. You could be vain in your accomplishment, in your desires, and you can also be vain as it pertains to the way that you look. So you have to look at the whole picture, and you have to look at everything so that, you know, I know I keep going back to this word, deceitfulness is what I think it was, but, you know, to make sure that you're not deceiving yourself, you have to look at the whole picture, you know, knowing that it's not just vanity when it comes to the way that you look, but it's also your intent, your desires, your behaviors. There's a lot of different areas to look at when it comes to vanity. Your word, Sister Ashley, is create. Create.
I always get sound effects in the background, Mother Jennifer. Where's your sound effects? Do you have people that are like, that's a good word. Oh, wow. You got all that? Where's
I'm
Georgia?
I'm solo, Sister Ashley. They're listening in a different part of the house, so I can't hear them.
Yeah, next time I give her a word, Georgia, give a big ooh-ah, okay? A big ooh-ah, distract her. I'm just saying. Man, create, you know? You know what? I go straight to another word. I don't know why, but reputation. I go to reputation because we create that, you know? Like, I create my reputation to each of you, you know? Yes, Satan has his hand in that too, just like you creating who you are to me. You know, so, like, we mold that reputation and we shape that reputation to the body of Christ. And I've never really spoke about it. I'm so willing. There's nothing. Y'all hear me? There's nothing that I wouldn't speak of. There is nothing I've ever been through that I wouldn't speak of. Some of you guys know personal stories I've never discussed on here. It's not for a purpose. Everything's on the shelf. You know, me holding back, it's not. But one of the things that I've never talked about that could be a whole six-hour show is a moment in time where, and this is my opinion, okay, this is not me hearing these words from Elder Becker and Pastor Dow. But there was a period of time years ago that I destroyed my reputation to those men. No, I didn't leave the ministry, and no, I haven't left 14 times. But reputation I created, I destroyed. And there's a whole story to that. If you know you create the you, don't be intimidated by needing to mold and recreate and reshape. Don't be intimidated by that. I'm not. It's part of the mentality that says, I know who I am. I know who I serve. I know his strength, and I know what he can make me, and I'm going to show you. And if you don't see, then you don't see. But I had to regain a reputation with Pastor and Elder Becker. I had to regain something that I lost probably, and it's my opinion, it took a year. You know, you destroy who you are to somebody. You also create who you are to somebody. And that's where my mind goes to create, because we all have to maintain a reputation. You know, and it should be godly and all those beautiful ABCDs of virtue and the fruits of the Spirit, you know. And when we wreck it, and you do, not everyone, but, you know, we fear wrecking our reputation so much. No, don't fear that. Don't fear your name called. Don't fear errors and mistakes. Don't fear failures, because you need to embrace the idea that you can recreate who you are, a better you, a stronger you, you know? You can show someone what's inside you. Hallelujah. So, next word for you, covenant.
Hallelujah. Covenant. I love that word. That's a really good word because it puts me in the mind that Yah will never break covenant with us. But we also have to remember and ask ourselves, you know, have we searched our hearts continually to make sure that there is nothing in us that's going to cause us to break covenant with him? You know, nothing in us that's going to cause us to be offended and to fall away. So we know that we can't take his loyalty to us, you know, his people. We can't take his loyalty to us for granted. And it just really requires you to work on yourself, to work on your part of the covenant, and really searching out areas where your strength is small, really being honest with yourself. We know that he will not break covenant with us, but the concern is not him. The concern is actually us. So that's what I think about when I think about the word covenant. Your word, Sister Ashley, is facade. Facade.
Yeah. Are y'all hearing this? I'm letting watch this, Ms. Jennifer. I'm just being funny anyway. We're just taking it slow tonight. So can I get a really loud what I just heard, audience? Right. Great. Great. Facade. Well, a little pressure, you know. The facade is the outward appearance, right? The facade, it is actually an English word that represents the outside of a building. So it's not just like what we would hear in the faith and you believe it's just belonging to your spirit. It's actually in English, it's the outside of a building. So in correlation, it's your outward appearance. But I think a facade would be your outward appearance that gives a deliberate false impression of who you really are. You know, that you're deliberately magnifying this thing that you're not. You know, and my mind then goes to, and this is so sad, I've seen this pattern, you know, who you are to women, and it's not everybody, y'all, I'm just talking loosely, okay, who you are to women is not who you are to your husband, and the biggest facade is who he believes you are. I mean, that's just like such a crock in most of our lives. Because you can't produce any form of love for a woman. You can't serve, be there on time, communicate. You can't do any of these things. But yet, he believes that you're something else, that you're him, that you're doing like him. You know, that is a really scary facade that I've seen the pattern of, you know, for many, many years. And the men are, you know, they're patient with what they may even know. I can't misrepresent them. I can't say that they don't see. But I do know the woman's, you know, I'm a woman. You know, I know the woman's power and ability to subtly present yourself as something you're not. And heaven bears witness with who you think you are. Heaven bears witness. Do you have any power to cast out spirits? Do you have any freedom over sin? Do you have any power to change your life and deny temptation when no one else is around? You know, do you have any power to change a conversation or just join in and complain with it? You know, it's like heaven bears witness with your own facade. You know, like how you are from day to day. And, yeah, it's pretty fearful. It kind of, you know, reminds you of the word deceit, but that I had given you. Number 20, drum roll. All right. Drum roll number 20 for you, Mother Jennifer. Nice show, by the way. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I hope you got something out of it. Number 20 is Blossom. Blossom. Ooh. I'm right. Did you hear it?
Blossom. I did hear it. Yes, I did hear it.
Like this. Go ahead, Blossom.
Blossom. I think about Blossom. I think about a daughter of Zion developing into something beautiful. And when that happens, it's a sign that she's not only bearing fruit, but that she is maturing and submitting herself so that Yah can bring increase in her life. I think one of the words was plant, you know, so we know that one plants and one waters and Yah brings the increase. So when I think about Blossom, I think about the one who allows Yah to bring the increase in their life. And we should never remain the same or stay stagnant. You should always be growing, always develop, and always blossom. Sister Ashley, your word is present or present. I'll let you pick which form you want to use, present or present.
Present, present, present. I got to go present. this present world, you know, this present time, this present evil world, this present light, everything that is present right now, you know, that we see, we hear. You see me in the flesh, you know. I turn around, I see Tammy, I see the walls and the computer, I see the microphone, and it's just for the time present, you know. And there's things to come, many things to come that I haven't seen and ear hasn't heard. We've all heard all that. So
The word teaches us to deny the ungodliness and the worldly lust, that we would live soberly right now in this present world. You know, that we would live as if there is an existence after this. That it not be contorted in our minds by any New Age belief, by any, you know, my gosh, how many hundreds of doctrines, y'all, are there out there that's really trying to take the power of heaven and hell away? You know, there's so many antichrists that are presenting another way. And so I just think about this present world, how we're supposed to carry ourselves and to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, live soberly. That's what I think about. Who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in this world to come, everlasting, if what? You left your house and your parents and your brethren and your wife, you know, for the kingdom's sake, and you did those things. Hallelujah. In this present time, you made those decisions here and now, and you endured to the end. There's many, many things ahead for us. Hallelujah. Bonus number 21 from Mother Jennifer, and I don't got a 21, unless you just think of something.
Sister Ashley, what if we ask our listening audience?
Ask them what, Mother? Go ahead. They can hear you.
On the bonus. Let's see if
when
we
is
can
my bonus time?
Get some.
Oh!
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
Put a lot of trust in these women behind me. All right, y'all go gather in the corner and get one word. Go ahead, Tammy. Take it in there. They're gonna miss this. Don't miss too much of what Mother's saying, but get your word together. We're having fun tonight.
Sister Ashley, I just got a text from one of our local sisters here, and she said this game is harder than Bananagrams.
Oh, my gosh, that's funny. It's harder than Bananagrams. Oh, my God. I can spell. I can create, y'all. I can talk. Man, you put me in front of Bananagrams, I'm like, huh? I'm coming up with all the 3- and 4-letter words that I do in first grade. I'm so serious. And Mother looked at my board the first time I even played and was like, wow, I thought you'd have more than that. I thought you would have
Mother
much
Carol
more
is a Bananagram
that.
Champ. She does
really
well.
Yeah, she really is. And yeah. She don't speak much, and she's got, like, you know, 11-letter words and stuff. She's knocking it out. So I don't play anymore. I just don't. I'll play with my class. All right, here we go. Bonus for Mother Jennifer Drumrolls, just me, is blasphemy. Blasphemy.
Blasphemy. You know, I think about the way that the word tells us to behave. Think about older women, really speaking to older women now. And what our role is as older women, how we're supposed to teach the younger how to love their husbands, how to guide the house, how to take care of their children. And it says that you do these things so that the word of Yah be not blasphemed. And if you are failing in these areas, then you are creating an opportunity for the word to be blasphemed in your life because of the example that you are not representing the way that you're required to. So that's what I think about the word blasphemy. I kind of changed it because I said blasphemed. Sister Ashley?
I don't know what Sister Aria is going to name this show or this game show or this, you know, thing that we have done, but I know me and some of my you know, my Sabbath, what would you call them, just wherever we sit, you know, when we sit, the sisters, I know we can play this. We can play this. Can we, Chef? Mm-hmm. Chef's just there. We can play this. I know I can play it up at Mother's table, too, somewhere
right.
Or another. We can play this. We just got we got one-minute timers. We can make it, right? A holy game.
Right.
Here comes, you ready, Mother Jennifer? Introduce so that they know what you're saying. Go ahead, number 21. Talk to us.
So, yes, ma'am. We have... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry if I wasn't clear. Mother Jennifer, you bring them in because they're going to say their word after you. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. All right. We have the Word Masters bringing a word to Sister Ashley. This is a bonus word.
Oh,
so I don't know who we're going to have come up. I don't know who we're going to have come up, but we need one person to come up and bring our bonus word for Sister Ashley.
And the bonus word is
submission.
submission. You noticed that was the voice of one person.
I love that. That's, you know, we can capitalize on that. That, you know, we did not submit to the instructions. What is it called? Master word or whatever. Master words. I like that. Master words.
Word masters.
Oh my gosh, submission. Y'all, hear my only little, like, where my heart goes first. It's inside you. It's in your heart, okay? And it's in your heart in such a way that everyone around you is more than you. You put yourself as the least of everyone, from child to master to greatest to leader. If you put everyone above you, you'll have no problem submitting. You'll have no problem subjecting yourself to one another, because their concerns, they triumph over yours. What they need is more than what you need. You know, how do you practice that when the mind and the flesh says, yeah, but they don't care about me, right? I give them this, this, and this, and they don't care about me. It doesn't matter. You know, your judgment before the Father is not based on what they did or didn't do, right? It's you. So you get really low in your heart. You don't have a lot of words to say. You don't got defense inside you. You don't have a better idea. You don't have a voice to try to express some contrariness inside of you. And I understand. I really do. I don't relate in a sense of living it, but I understand the generation that we're up against. This is so foreign. This makes no sense. It's so cultish, you know. It's so brainwashed and so pointing the finger at pastor, you know. He's tyrannical, and that's why we do what we do or whatever, but it's really just Christ-like. You know, you want to get rid of every voice inside of you that comes up to the surface to oppose the direction you've been given, and you do that by continually submitting and doing the thing that you were told to do. Suppress it and then express it to Yah. You know, suppress what you heard, express it to Yah, and expect change because you have godly sorrow. So, yeah, submission is in the heart. It just is. That's how, you know, Deacon Bell is so surrendered and submitted to the ministry. It's just in him. It's just in him. There's nothing that's going to rise up or question, you know, if he was sat down forever and the title was taken away. He would just submit. There's no, without any question, you know. He's a great example in my life, but I hope that helps y'all to really deny every opposing voice inside of you. Hallelujah. And to become very Christ-like, because it's accepted. I want my prayers heard. I need y'all to hear me. You know what I mean? I need him to manifest my answers to me. And that's not based on anyone else's behavior. If you've ever been desperate for answers, you ever had low places and crossroads and, you know, train wrecks and all that, if you ever had childbirth, you know, it doesn't matter what your experience is, it will produce submission if you're his. You know, so all this contrariness and going another way and the facade and all that, it's just a bunch of fluff and stuff. I think they were sent amongst us to teach us what not to be. You know, he set before us two different ways, and it's right in our midst. You ain't got to go far. I don't got to leave the land. I don't got to, you know, travel anywhere else on the Sabbath day. It's right there. It's right there. You choose. You choose who you're going to serve. Hallelujah. So submit and get yourself ready for the judgment that's coming after this present world. Mother Jennifer, end the show.
Sister Ashley, I want to thank you end the show by thanking you for everything you do for this broadcast. You always do a wonderful job. I want to thank you for all the work that you put in, just really giving up your time and just, you know, submitting yourself and giving yourself for the Daughters of Zion. This was a fun show tonight, a fun game. There are some very serious answers, so I pray that we all go back and really listen and take heed to the wisdom that was given. Bless you, Daughters of Zion.
Hallelujah. Let's end the show. All right. Hold tight. You could have let it go off. Bless you, my gentleman. Look, Chef. You could have let that sound off.
We're gonna play some Jamaican gospel and go out with a Give Me Jesus, okay?
Give me Jesus in the morning. Give me Jesus in the evening too.
I gotta have a cheese.